Experience a coffee journey like no other with Spirits of Coffee. From hand roasting their premium beans to perfection, to aging them in a variety of carefully selected barrels, every step is meticulously crafted to bring you the ultimate coffee experience. Whether you prefer a bold, smoky profile or a smooth, velvety blend, Spirits of Coffee roast their beans to your exact specifications, ensuring that every cup is tailored to your taste. Indulge in the rich, nuanced flavors of Spirits of Coffee's barrel-aged coffees. From the bold complexities of their Brazilian barrel-aged beans to the refined elegance of their bourbon barrel blend, each sip is a symphony of flavors carefully curated to elevate your coffee experience to new heights. Head to spiritsofcoffee.com to place your order and join them embracing the art of coffee drinking with Spirits of Coffee. Use the code TASTEMASTERS10, that's right, TASTEMASTERS10, at checkout to enjoy 10% off your order and taste the difference for yourself. Don't just trust us, go ahead and try. With Spirits of Coffee, every sip is an adventure. Trust us when we say this will blow you away. Step into Keto's Brewing and immerse yourself in a world of impeccable craft brews and infectious positivity. With pinball machines aplenty and a welcoming atmosphere, every visit is an experience to cherish. And rumor has it, the beer at Keto's is better than ever. Each sip is a testament to their dedication to quality and innovation. Prepare your taste buds for a journey you will not forget. Whether you're seeking a midweek pick-me-up or a weekend relaxation, Keto's Brewing is here for you every single day. Come on by and experience the magic for yourself. Don't miss out on the vibes, the brews, and the memories waiting to be had at Keto's Brewing. See you guys there. You're listening to the Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. Okay, before we start, you were on Mikey's show, you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So
talk to me about this.
Yeah, so I was on Mikey's show. When was that? I guess it was in the fall.
Okay.
And yeah, he had me on. I've known Mikey for years and years and years.
Oh, boo.
In fact, he's kind of why I started doing what I do with my page.
Oh.
Because I was reading the Utah Beer blog and I started pairing beer and metal, mostly metal albums and hard rock albums. And just, I really enjoyed his page. And I'm like, well, I should do something, like kind of my own little take on it. And I try to focus a lot on Utah beers, but I do kind of everything, you know, just
yeah.
Anywhere. And you know, because I love beer. So, but I try to highlight Utah beers the most because
yeah.
I'm Utah and I love the state, love the brewers here, you know, and I think we have awesome beer. And I think, you know, we've gotten a bad name for so long because of our liquor laws. And it's like, no, you should really try Utah beers because they kick ass.
Yeah. So, here.
I can swear, right? Sorry.
Yeah. Fuck damn shit. Yeah, all of it. Yeah.
Perfect.
I swear too much.
Anyway, yeah, I was on Mikey's show and it was fun. It was embarrassing and weird because, you know, the show
was embarrassing and weird.
Well, because he was like, you know, he called it like, I can't remember the name exactly of the show. Like
you're right. Influencers.
Influencers. And so Stephanie and I was like, we're not influencers. We're bad influencers. We're not influencers.
Yeah. Like, Stephanie is not an influencer. She's a bad influencer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm not an influencer. Like, hardly anybody knows who I am. I'm small potatoes. But it was really fun. And I love Mike.
Good.
And I love Stephanie. And it was great. We had a blast. It was very entertaining.
I remember, I think she was talking about that. I think I caught glimpses of that one because I remember you guys going around and saying who your favorite influencer was or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then that's when I think for the first time publicly and out loud, and it's now recorded, Mikey said some nice things about me. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah. He can be nice. No, but I think you and I are on the same page where that word influencer, it comes with like this pedestal of like, I'm influencing.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, am I influencing good or bad or... Because it's vulnerable when you put yourself there. So I can see what you mean, because I don't like the word influencer.
Yeah, there's also a lot of ego attachment to that, I think, which kind of bothers me. It's,
well, you see the ones, you know, the these scantily clad women or these guys that, you know, and then those influencers that are getting bajillions of, you know, it's like, I don't want that.
No.
I'm doing it for my love and passion of it. Like, I'm just trying to showcase artists.
Yeah.
And help them be heard. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if it happens to influence you, hey, great. That's right. You know, if you hate me, great. I don't care. I sleep well at night, most nights.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
So
yeah.
I think I know what you. I feel you on that one.
Yeah. So yeah, that's. But it was fun. It was entertaining. It's good. You know, it's always fun talking beer. So
I know with people who like-minded people.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, someone asked me the other day, "Why do you make beer? I don't like it." I'm like, "Well, you don't have to like it, but that camaraderie you can have with it is magical."
Yeah.
There's something about it. You know, just like, let's have a pint. It's like if you don't like beer, do you like coffee? Like, let's go get a coffee.
Yeah.
It's just chill and talk. Yeah. And it's an excuse to just be.
Right.
And that's something I'm working on is my favorite quote right now. I don't remember where I heard it, but it was to think of the past is depression. To think of the future is anxiety. But being present and now is now.
Oh, that's great.
Like, oh, man, I love that. Fuck. Because, like, sometimes you can think, like, sure, you got to plan for your future, but if you think too far, it's, like, almost devastating.
Yeah.
If you go too far in your past, you're like, oh, my God, I did this and this, this. Like that's, like, there's depression. Like, you just get depressed sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's me anyway. And so being now, it's like, let's just enjoy this moment. And so having a beer in front of you sometimes helps you kind of break those walls down with respect to the liquid. Yeah. Like, hey, let's just – that's, like – that's why I like having a beer with my guests usually. When, not every episode is a drinking involved.
Right.
But sometimes maybe people – because you interview a lot of individuals too.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't like the sound of my voice. I'm not interesting. I don't – like, I'm nervous. And you're like, no, just hang out with me. Right? Yeah. And that's – and you get it. And once like a few sips of that beer goes in, it's like, eh, we forgot that we were nervous.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm the same. Yeah. In fact, it's funny I try to do, when I do interviews, I try not to have to do any edits because I hate the sound of my voice and I don't want to listen to it. So, and I don't watch, I don't even, you know, if I know there's a flub somewhere or something, we have, you know, a technical issue and we have to, you know, I do have to go in and edit and find that part that I have to edit that I will. But for the most part, I just, you know, I put it together, I post it and it's gone.
Good
I don't,
for you.
I don't look at it again because I can't stand listening to myself, even though I love the people
nitpicking
I've
at it.
That's what I would do.
You can't do that, man. Yeah. You can't, you just gotta like, people like that rawness. Like, I've learned that people like when, well, not like, but you messing up or you fucking up in during an interview or studying your words or whatever. It's like, oh, he's human.
Yeah, that's a real...
Because perfection is impossible. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's an unreal thing.
Yeah.
That we all sometimes try to attain. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Let me stumble. Let me get things wrong.
Yeah. And I probably should listen to some of them just so I can improve on things. Because I don't know if I'm doing the ums and ers and,
Yeah.
I should probably listen and go, okay, what can I improve on in the way I'm presenting myself?
Yeah.
To You're make right. a better interview, but it's like, oh, God, I do not want There's to listen
some,
to my voice.
Some podcasters or some what we call, beer influencers, even Mikey's Radio or whatever. Sometimes I'm finding myself judging what they're saying or what they're doing. I'm like, that bugs me.
Yeah.
And it's just, don't do that. But am I doing it? I don't know. Like, you're right. You got to go back and like, oh, shit, maybe I am.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm doing that mirroring thing where they're doing it, but in reality, I'm also doing it.
Right.
And I have to get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's Zen David for you right now.
Nice. I love it.
Anyway, Victor, we got right into it.
Yes.
But Victor, tell the people who you are, man.
Sure.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Way,
yeah.
Dude.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome. Yeah. I was telling you before we started, I won't get, too personal or too into it. I had a really shitty week. So this is great. I was really, something positive.
The universe put us together for some reason. I don't know what it is. And I've been watching you for a few years now. And I love what you do. I think it's really cool. The individual that really pushed me your way was about 2 or 3 years ago is Melissa Diaz, the cupcake, Sweet Vinyl Cupcakes Bake Shop.
Oh, interesting.
Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop, excuse me, Diaz. But she was a huge metalhead, and she fell in love with you because you were doing metal albums, and you were pairing these CDs and vinyls with local beer.
Yeah.
And I remember, it was COVID. I remember you pairing beer during COVID with you. Remember how like you'd had to go in front of Fisher and like they were doing growlers only and they had just that little deck?
Yeah.
So you, Standard I remember you line. Going to like Shades. I remember you going to Fisher. And those are the two I remember. And you posted the same growlers that I had grabbed, or the same cans I had grabbed that day or whatever.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, this cat's so cool. He's pairing it with music. Because to me, the one thing that, one of the few things in my life that I wish I had was more music. I wish I could play an instrument. I wish I could sing. I wish I could, I my friends who can just sit there and like twang, or they can play the violin, or they can play a flute. I'm like, I love you. Like, it's beautiful. And my friends who are musicians that can produce and make music, it's a talent that they have, and they see the essence, like a fine wine.
Yeah.
They take it and they like make this experience better. And so what you did is you took something that I love and that I find therapy in, music. You took it, and then something that I'm learning and I loved and I just got so into was beer. And you did that, Victor. And like, I'm like, I like this cat. So I immediately followed you.
I've
been stalking you since. And I don't know why we haven't sat down, but
yeah,
I'm glad
it's weird.
It's happening.
Yeah. This is awesome. Yeah. That's what I wanted to do when I first started this. So I started this, I can't believe it's been this long. It was 2011.
Is how long ago
when I started. And it was very small. It was just a Facebook page where I didn't write up I didn't write the descriptions like I do now. I didn't go so in depth. But then as the years went on and the more I got into it, I'm like, all right, I need to really get into this. It's not the same thing, but, and I'll be the first to say it's silly. Like, I admit it's silly what I do, but it's akin to, wine and food pairings, or even beer and food pairings. But, I'm a metalhead. I'm a rocker, and I love music and all sorts of music too. I listen to jazz and all sorts of stuff, pop and whatever, but I am a metalhead at heart. So yeah, I don't know why, and at the time too, again, back in 2011, there was nothing really like this. I've seen some things like this now, but, and different places, but you didn't see a lot of this. And I really wanted, as you said, I wanted to highlight local beer. I do a lot of, national and international beers as well, but I wanted to highlight local Utah beer.
Why? Why Utah? What was it about the beer that you wanted to highlight?
Well, I think one thing that just would annoy me is I'd hear, people just, from out of state or out of the country, bad mouthing Utah, in our beer.
Mm.
And like, okay, you haven't had, especially because there was the, kind of this misnomer, and it was because of our lovely legislature, the 3.2, the old 3.2
right.
beer.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody thought it was 3.2 ABV. It's like, no, it's ABW. It's not ABV. It's actually 4%.
Yeah.
Which is still low, but
in their head, they had that 3.2.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, no, it's a.
Yeah.
You need no math.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, we're the only state that goes by ABW. It's ridiculous. But I just got tired of people bad mouthing, local Utah beers.
Yeah.
And it's like, have you actually tried it? And we do, there, and at the time, there weren't that many, but I guess it was really just Uinta and Squatters at that time that were doing big beers.
Right.
That actually did do big beers.
Gotcha.
Big.
That were bigger, well-known, I guess.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And they were doing, high ABV. And then Epic came in and started doing all high ABV, and it really pushed the envelope, I think, and then kind of the craft beer thing, it really exploded.
So you've kind of sat back and watched it, because you've been in the industry probably a decade longer than I have, almost.
Yeah, and so I mean, I remember the very first, quote-unquote craft beer I ever had. I was in college. I went to school here in Salt Lake, and I was at a house party, and somebody had, I can't remember if it was, I think it was Squatters maybe, or Wasatch, had a raspberry wheat beer.
I want to say that's Wasatch.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, this was way, way back. This was like 92,
okay.
93, somewhere okay. around there. And so I was 20, 21, somewhere around there. And I had this beer, and my dad's a beer drinker, but he drank Coors. And
I had nothing wrong with Coors.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Coors. Banquet beer. Love Banquet. I had never had a craft beer that isn't GMO bullshit. It's like real stuff. It's not, there's no rice.
Made in your neighborhood in a way.
Yeah, made in the locally. And I tried it. I'm like, wow, this is really good. But it was a little too sweet for me with the raspberry stuff. But then I started, you know, I think I discovered maybe a Captain Bastards or something. I'm like, and I was all in. And then so
that
I had,
that's Squatters.
Yeah. And then I had, you know, you went just Cutthroat and that one, because I love IPAs and pale ales. And I'm like, all right, I'm so into this. And I just became obsessed with craft beer. And then when my buddies started brewing, I had friends that started brewing it. And I became obsessed.
I love it.
And I think Utah, there's some, like yourself, I mean, there are people doing really amazing things here. And I think it seems like I'm hoping it feels like, especially in the beer community, like the international beer community, I think Utah now has, I mean, I think the old cliches of Utah has fallen away.
I hope so. I mean, like you said, I hope so. I really try to, I feel like I've started that family thing. Like we're a big family. Like, I know even this week, actually, I was out of a certain malt that, I ordered, but it was, one of those things where you order something, but then they send you the wrong thing anyway. So it's like, oh shit, I'm brewing tomorrow. I need this. And I ended up sending probably 5 or 6 texts to local breweries from Ogden all the way down to Utah County. Do you have this malt? And, you know, one of them picked up, I'm like, hell yeah, we do. Let's go.
Cool.
And, you know, we figured out the logistics of it, but that's the community we have.
Yeah.
And I probably at least once a week I get reached out to. I'm like, hey, do you have this over there? Or can you help me with this? Absolutely. Or if I can't, I'll help you find a way you can, right?
Nice.
And even the ones that said, no, we don't have that malt, but like, I think I know you can look for this, that, and the other. And it's so beautiful. And, you know, the shticks that maybe have happened back in the day with Utah beer, it's like, hey, we're a new chapter, man. Yeah. Like, it's different. The 90s, it's past. The thousands have passed. Like, you know, like I call this, in my mind, it's a Gen 3. Hmm. So you have like the old school people, like the Gentiles, you know. Sorry, Jason Stock, but I count you in that one. Like you got the older guys that are making, you know, great beer, and they're kind of in their own ways. It's like they know how to do it. They do it in their own way. Then you have the second generation where like they're kind of hungry, but they're at the mercy of the Padawan master kind of level, right? Then you have the Gen 3 where it's like, fuck everything. I'm just going to learn everything I can from everyone I will and just do it. And you see these brewers that are coming up now that are hungry. Yeah. And I say this all the time. I rather take that person and their passion over anyone with experience and knowledge. Yeah. And I say it with a grain of salt to a degree. But you're hungry and you want to learn, I will give you the time of day.
Yeah.
The second you tell me you're just like, I'm just here to do a job, man, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm still hungry. Like, teach me all the things. Because I surrender to the fact that I don't know everything. And because of that, I want to know everything.
Nice. Well, that's what I love about, you know, brewers is, you know, and I'm not a brewer myself, but I love the, and I think that's why part of why I pair music, and because I see it as the same thing. I see it as art.
Yeah.
It, craft beer, artisan beer.
Totally.
I mean, you know, it really is a craft. And I think, you have to have passion for it. If you don't, what are you doing?
Well, like music.
Yeah, go work for Budweiser.
Yeah. Why are you making actual music? Or are you just playing, like, you're just making music to make music?
Yeah. Or make money or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I think if you have a passion for it, then yeah. So that's, my passion is to pair those things.
Yeah. So what about the music and the, cause it's like, let me see if I can get into your mind.
Sure.
Because you were talking about...
It's a scary place.
I mean, sign me up. So it's like you were talking about beer and food, or food and wine.
Right.
And that's what got me into the, I guess, fermentation world, is wine and food pairing. Hmm. I remember having... I was a bartender at a place, and we had this wine and cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
So there are crackers from all over the world, cheeses from all over the world, and wines from all over the world. And with like the 12 we had, or 8, whatever... I could go, there was endless possibilities of just having these pairings, and like the same wine with different breads or different cheeses or this, that, like, blew my mind.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing is you're taking these musics that resonate within you, that like bring out something, they say something, they just pop. Yeah. And you're like, I'm gonna take this beer that does the same thing to a different degree and help people marry the two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's, I couldn't have said it better myself. Exactly what I do. Yeah, that's.
But you do that, and I see that, and it's so fucking amazing.
Thank you,
like Victor. I'll share the last one that really hit me, and I know we had a phone call and we talked about this, but Todd Curtis, one of my dear friends, and in the local beer community. Sorry, homie. He was the biggest, one of my favorite locals, non beer related person. like a beer maker, I guess, but he battled cancer forever. Right. And his favorite place is Fisher. And he loved Fisher. And that's when I met him too, was at Fisher.
Oh, cool.
And he goes, "I've been watching you." I remember the first time I met him. He's like, "I've been watching you." I'm like, "You have?" He's like, "Yeah, you like craft beer. Not as much as I do, but just as much as I do." And I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "You know, I hope you, like, I would love to have a beer with you." And we had a beer together. And he was with our friend Brett Markham.
Yeah.
And so, like, those two are inseparable. And I remember him always listening to, you know, cool music. And it's so funny that a year later, they celebrated at St. Patrick's Day at Fisher. And Todd Love, you know, St. Patrick's Day, always dressed up to the nines, did it. And nice. And Fisher released a Hazy Todd's. And they made that beer. And you went and paired it. And a little research I've done is you actually reached out to Brett. And
yeah.
You did your own research about that. And you went above and beyond, Victor, to figure out an individual you probably didn't know.
I think I met him one time, maybe. I'm trying to, like, it's because I've seen his picture, you know, his picture's up on the wall at Fisher.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know I talked to this guy at some point.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I love Fisher and I hang out there all the time.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law works there. And I was hanging out there before he worked there. When they first opened, I was hanging out there. And when I still lived here in Salt Lake. Brett always spoke so highly of Todd. And then when that beer came out, I'm like, okay, I have to do something. I didn't know the guy, but I need to do, you know, especially for Brett and his, you know, you and all of his friends, all of Todd's friends. I got to do something. I got to, you know, and it's, I'm always a little worried doing something like that because I don't want it to be hokey because I want to honor the memory of somebody. Sorry, now I'm getting emotional.
It's because it's real, man.
Yeah. So it was, it was a good, and I think my hope is it was cathartic for people that knew him.
Oh, man, you brought me to tears, Victor. You did, man. Because, like, seeing Elton John's face on that vinyl and then that beer and then Todd's name, like, I'm like, holy shit, he would have loved this.
Nice.
And so the fact that you went and did your own R&D to really, truly pair. You're not just some guy that's like, oh, here's Backstreet Boys album with the latest Two Row or TF beer.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
No, you, like, legit are trying to pair. Hey, this is what song you need to listen to or album you need to listen to while enjoying this beverage by two different artists that are kind of like-minded, and you're trying to mesh the two.
Yeah.
And you went above and beyond on that one, and saw that and felt that. And I'm like, dude, fuck you, Victor, for making me cry. Because it was awesome, man.
Yeah, thanks.
And that's where it's like, it's not hokey. Like, you really, like, are putting passion into it. And so, whether you don't like the term influencer or not, you influenced me to, like, holy shit, people really do care about this. And you're doing it, man.
Well, thank you.
And so, I appreciate that. Thank you for continuing to, like, to showcase local artists and bring in more spotlight to metalheads and metal that I'm not familiar with. A lot of the metal albums you release, I'm like, what the hell is that? That's the scariest looking cover. But I'm like, I have to look into it.
I've got some crazy stuff. Yeah, I think that's my big problem too, is that I like everything. Like, I have a wide breadth of fandom, with music. So, I mean, and, you know, I grew up listening to, like, 80s pop music, you know, like Duran Duran.
We still listen to that, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening, but you know, then as I got older, I got into heavy stuff, but I still go back and I still own everything from my childhood. I mean, I have tapes and, Mr.
What's
Mister.
A tape?
I have ridiculous stuff, but I still, you know, I still listen to it every once in a while. And, and I don't really care. And my wife's like this too. In fact, she coined this phrase and I love it. She's like, I don't play the genre game. I'm like, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm a metalhead, I listen to everything. And who cares? Like, you know, and there's so many subgenres now of metal. It's become absurd.
Right.
It's silly. You know, because when I was a kid, it was like metal and hard rock. That's what there was. And now it's like, oh, there's Viking folk, death, blackened death. You know, it's like, all right, whatever. It's metal. I listened to a lot of different stuff, but I don't know where I was going with this. But yeah, I think it was funny when I reached out to Brett and just said, hey, I would like to do something for Todd. And I said, you know, I didn't really know him. Like, what did he listen to? And Brett came back and said, well, it's not your kind of music, you know, because he knows me as a metalhead. And he's like, he was a big Elton John fan. I'm like, I fucking love Elton John.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Elton John fan. Like, yeah, I'm totally in. Yeah, let's, yeah, I've got, I mean, it's my wife's record, but I listen to it all the time. Sure. Like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. And he said, you know, Yellow Brick, you know, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road was just like, that was like his favorite song. So I'm like, all right, let's do it. I don't have that album. I have a greatest hits album, but we'll, I'm going to, yeah, I'll get something out soon. So, and I did it, like I wrote it that night, I think, cause I kind of got obsessed with it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, and one, you know, I wanted to get the trick with, especially Fisher beers, trying to do a pairing is because I want people to go drink those beers and they rotate so often. It's mm-hmm. like, all right, I have to post this really quickly or this beer is going to be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll continue it because they have some beers they continue and then
they'll
others.
Bring back sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, I got to get this out. So people, you know, I got to be relevant, got to be in the time. So that's the one trick, especially with Fisher, is trying to get, because I have a backlog sometimes. It's, yeah, I'm not posting when I post beer pairings. Like I posted one this morning. Like I didn't drink a beer this morning. Well, I am now, but I didn't drink the beer. It was like from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. You gotta make content.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, I have a kind of a backlog of stuff, you know, even though when I posted, it sounds like it's in the now, it's happening right then.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not. It's,
no, I get that. Cause sometimes I'll post like, oh, try this new beer at like Wasatch Park City or Vernal, and they're like, oh bro, are you there? I'm like, no, I took that picture like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I totally get that. But when did Brett say anything to you after you posted that?
Yeah, he reached out, and as did Robert Hamilton and another friend of theirs who I just met. I can't, no, I'm so bad with names, I forget his name.
Oh, you're fine.
It'll come to me later, but, and I apologize. They reached out to me and thanked me and said that he would have liked it. So it's like, well, cool.
That's the thing is, you didn't make that to get a billion likes and to be the next YouTube, Facebook star and have your own reality show. And, you know, you're doing it because you went out of your way to give love, share love. You were being love. And the ones that saw that came back and gave love.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really was specifically, I mean, my target audience was two people. It was Brett and Robert Hamilton. That was my target audience because I knew, you know, I know Todd passed away over a year ago, but it's like they're still hurting. That's going to stay with them forever.
Yeah, it's a scar.
Yeah. So always it's like, will be. You know, not that I'm going to make it better, but I want to at least reach out, Victor, give me a little.
And kudos to you, man. Yeah. It was beautiful. And that was, you're fucking awesome, man.
Like, thanks, man.
You've been doing great things like that. And yeah, that one just like, I don't know, something clicked in me. I'm like, I have to reach out. And I did. I'm like, cool. All right, I'm
thank
done.
You. Yeah.
Like, I'm reaching out because I don't know why we haven't done this before.
Yeah. Yeah. This is great. This is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always wanted to meet you. I've been following your page forever. You know,
since
I watch your podcasts and I don't remember how I came across you. It was a friend. It might have been Brett from Utah. Hmm. I don't remember. For some reason, I think it was him, but I don't remember exactly. But somebody said, hey, have you checked out Tastemasters? I'm like, no, what is that?
What the hell is that?
Yeah, and I looked at it like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I mean, same kind of passion project. It's just like, I don't know what I'm doing, really. My favorite thing is someone the other day told me, yeah, he has no idea what he's doing. I'm like, yeah, you're completely right. I'm just trying to follow my heart.
That's all. Yeah, but then it's real. It's honest. That's what I like about it.
Thank you.
It's really honest. Like you have real conversations with real people, and it's not, you know, yeah, you're not someone, you know, blowing smoke up each other's asses trying to impress each other. It's like, let's have a real conversation about beer or whiskey or or wine or whatever, you know, whatever you're focused on for that episode.
Yeah.
And that's important. I think that's really cool. And the fact that you're highlighting all these great local artists.
Trying to anyway. Yeah. There's so many. I mean, it's kind of cool. Cause my friend, Chris Hollifield, he did the I Am Salt Lake and he changed it to, Let's Talk, I think it's called. Anyway, he kind of rebranded. He was doing it for over a decade and then kind of needed a break. Right. But he told me, and he was doing it for a decade. Like, he got, like, the Podcast of the Year award, like, multiple years.
He's great.
Like, he's a badass, right? And I remember we were interviewing for the first time. He interviewed me. He's like, David, I'm jealous of you. And I'm like, why? Why would anyone be jealous of me? And he's like, well, because you niche down. You're doing the same thing I'm doing, but in a genre, in a way. Like, you're just doing fermentation. Hmm. He's like, I'm doing everyone. I can go interview, you know, religious leaders, a bakery, a barber, you know, a car salesman. Like, I have endless amounts of people. But he's like, the daunting part of that is I'm trying to interview everyone.
Yeah.
And that's, imagine that.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, 100%. He's like, but you just have the little pocket. And whether people like it or not, you're staying right there. And I wish I would have done that. I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't realize I was doing that. But that's why I did it. I just like, how do you make this? And why did you make this? What's the story behind this? I just want to know. And I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Call me a cat. I'm curious. And I just kept going with it. And, you know, it's funny to see. Do you play instruments or any?
I don't. I played poorly trumpet when I was a kid. It was terrible. It was awful. Yeah, I'm not a musician. My son is an amazing musician. He's incredible. He plays multiple instruments.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's incredible. But yeah, I do not play any instruments.
Damn, I was going to be like, well, you must play something, right?
I mean, I toyed around. Like, I mean, you know, when we were, I will admit, I was in a band in college.
Okay.
We were called, what was our name?
Oh, please.
We never played a show ever.
Hit me hard.
We just fought all the time. Darwin's Mistake. That was the name of our
Darwin's
band.
Darwin's Mistake. I love that, actually.
And we were going to be kind of, so again, this was early 90s, very early 90s, like 90, 91. So this, I think we were kind of like a, I think we were trying to go for kind of a Faith No More sort of a thing, but okay. Kind of funky. So maybe like Faith No More with a little Red Hot Chili Peppers in there. Like, that's what we were attempting. So I was the, and I'm doing air quotes, singer. I can't sing either, but my friend Chan, he's a great guitar player. He was the guitar player. And then we had a, you know, we had the Spinal Tap issue where we just could not find a drummer. We kept, and then the bass player and I argued all the time about what we wanted to be and where we wanted, like, which I wanted to go heavy, of course, and he wanted to be more funk because he was a really good funk player, excellent funk bass player, and I like funk a lot, but I was like, I want to go heavy, like, let's be like metal. Yeah. And it never happened.
But, damn. Yeah. The project that could have been.
Yeah.
Darwin's Mistake.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the problem too, is, you know, he wanted to be a funk band. I'm like, well, I can't sing. I can scream, but I can't sing. I can yell. I can, you know, be more of a metal or a punk guy, but I can't sing. I have a terrible voice. Like, I'm tone deaf. Like, so yeah, if we're going to be anything, we have to be loud and obnoxious.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I'm not a musician.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, yeah, I played the recorder, Hot Crust Buns.
Yeah, I do have a recorder.
No, I wish, like, I see some of my friends that are in bands. I'm like, God damn, you guys are so cool. One of my favorite episodes I've recorded was with Brian Best. He's in a band called Hulking Boy Giants.
Okay, I've heard that.
And local band in Salt Lake. They're kind of the pop rock or punk rock scene.
Cool.
And he brought, I think, 5 beers and paired them with, on the episode, he paired beers with music, just like you do.
Oh, right on.
And that was one of my favorite episodes I've ever recorded. Because
I need to meet this guy.
He kind of like, oh yeah, he's at Bewilder. So if you ever want to go see him, he's usually at Bewilder. And I remember sitting there, and he's like, here's the story behind this beer and this song, and I want you to share this with me.
Cool.
And we did it, and it was like the most magical podcast. I sat there doing what like you do, but in person, like live. And I'm nice. Like, oh my God. And so on that episode, I asked my producer, is there any way you can like play that song while we're drinking this beer, have that song be playing, and then people can understand what's going on. And he did for like, I can only play like 9 seconds before it gets like
licensing issues, right?
And so we did though. So you got to go back to the episode.
Yeah.
It's Brian Best. And I remember recording that, and he had a beautiful story, but there's a Canadian beer we brought, Molson's.
Okay.
And he paired it with a friend that passed away, and he paired that song, and I remember Brian just like sitting back and just like, just feeling the emotions. And like, this meant a lot, both the song and the beer.
Nice.
And I'm like, there's something to it. This is like that wine and cheese, or like music and beer, right? And you were doing the same. You're doing the same thing. It's like, God, you guys are so cool. Like, there's so many cool friends we have in this industry.
It is. It's an amazing industry, and especially this local. You know, like you were saying earlier, like, you know, the fact that, you know, you were out of a malt, and I've heard stories like that quite a bit about all the breweries. Yeah, that getting together and. Yeah, like if somebody needs a, you know, especially, you know, I think during the pandemic, there were shortages
Yeah.
And even before that, I know at one time, like Simcoe was a really hot hop when it first came out, and then it like was really scarce. And there were brewers. I remember talking to a brewer, and he had a beer that like the name of the beer was Simcoe something or other. And it's like,
I don't have the actual ingredient.
And, yeah. And another brewery is like, we got a bunch. We'll sell it to you cheap and, you know, or do a trade or something. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, I love that, you know, cause there's definitely, I'm sure, friendly competition, you know,
to a degree,
you know, it's business, but I love the fact that it's, most of the, I think for the, you know, the majority from what I've seen of brewers really are, there's a camaraderie, there's a friendship.
There is. And it's not perfect. Don't get me wrong. But I want to see everyone win. I want to see everyone do well. I don't, there's not one brewery I look back and I'm like, go die. You know, I just like, I hope they do well.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not my vibe or whatever, but if you need help, I will answer that phone call. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the vibe. You know, that's the, like you said, the camaraderie. And I don't know if other states are not doing it or they are doing it. I'm assuming they are. I just live in Utah, so I'm only focused on Utah. Yeah. That's why people always ask me, hey, you're going to go outside of Utah? And I'm like, yeah, eventually, but there's so much cool shit here that I'm like, I was doing... For almost 4 years, I was doing, or 3 years, I can't recall anymore, but I was doing content every week I was posting. Mm. I had, I made it to my 200th episode mark, right? And it was like every week was a content, and I was just creating content.
Wow.
And when I took the head brewing job at Kitos, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Not like I can't do it, it's like my time's focusing on trying to save a brewery in a way. And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
But my passion wasn't putting out fires at a new brewery and trying to learn new things that I didn't know. My passion was doing this.
Yeah.
But that paid the bills. This doesn't pay the bills at all. This does nothing for me besides meeting cool people.
Yeah. I'm the same. Yeah. I don't make a dime off of brews and tunes. I don't, you know, I don't have enough followers. And I don't really want to. I don't like because I've had people like, oh, you should do this and this and this and to make money. I'm like,
yeah, capitalize.
I don't really want to make money. It's a hobby. It's fun. It's entertaining for me. Like, and I get cool stuff. You know, I get to meet lots of cool people like yourself. And you know, and I've like bands have sent me music, and
You
know, and I've become friends with people like globally because of this. Yeah, it's been a really good, and I'll admit I've almost quit multiple times. Like, all right, this is silly. I got to stop this. But then something cool happens and somebody will say something really great, you know, and like, you know, something was meaningful to them or, you know, they really enjoyed a beer. They really enjoyed an interview. Yeah. And it's like, damn, all right, I got to keep doing it. Cause it's fun. I do have it's entertaining, you know, sometimes it does feel like work, but.
I see you. I feel that. Cause I mean, the beginning of the year is when I thought about hanging it up, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And a lot of my friends were like, you don't have to, but like, we love it. Like, hey, because there's other, you know, beer podcasts out there, some local ones too.
Yeah.
And they all have we all have different messages. And I look at the messages that they're trying to, you know, personify. And I'm like, I'm not that though.
Yeah.
Like, I like what I'm doing. I'll keep doing it. And, what keeps me going, I guess, is the fact that I can meet cool motherfuckers like you.
Yeah,
and I can remember same. That. Like, you said you're not good with names and faces. That's a gift of mine for some reason. I'm most, like, 90% of the time, I can remember your face and your name. And, like, I have, like, this Rolodex in my head where, like, I know where we met and I know that memory we shared. And nothing to me in my life makes me feel more important than when someone remembers me. Oh, shit. You're David. I'm like, yeah, I am. Like, I'm seen. Like, when I'm seen, I'm like, oh shit, yeah. I made an impression on somebody. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's why I'm really good with names and faces, because I'm like, I want you to be seen too.
I'm good with faces. I'm bad with names, if that makes sense. It's I'll see somebody. I'm like, okay, I know this person. Like, I know.
She's like, hey, guy.
Hey, yeah, hey, you.
Hey, hey, friend.
Yeah. That just happened recently. It was somewhere. Yeah, there was somebody I knew from college, and I haven't seen him since college.
Right.
So we're talking 30 years ago.
And you're doing other things. You're living your life.
Yeah, and he looks very different. And I look very different from what we did then. But I kept looking at this guy. I'm like, God, I know this guy. How do I know this guy? And at the time, I even said to him, I'm like, I know you somehow. And he's like, I don't think so. And then I went home and went, I remember. We went to college together. Mm, we weren't necessarily friends. We were acquaintances. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So how do you do that thing where, like, let's say you're trying to introduce someone that you've met, like maybe recently,
okay,
like maybe to your spouse, be like, hey, this is like, I want to figure out a way, because it hasn't been taught to me, where it's like, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Even though it's like, you met me last week.
Yeah.
Shit. Well,
I'm pretty open with people that I'm bad with names. So, yeah, just it's like, so if I forget, yeah, I always try to tell people, if I forget your name, I'm so sorry.
Right.
And certain names will stick sometimes. I don't know what it is. I can't put a finger on it, but.
I mean, some names are funky.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll kind of stick with you. And also I think, yeah, word association, if there's.
Yeah, you know, that's my trick.
Yeah, like if you know, like, well, like with you, it's like, okay, Tastemaster, oh, that's David.
Mm.
Like, yeah, like I knew, like, okay, that's David.
Gotcha.
But yeah, there's certain people like, okay, I know this person, I've met this person, but.
Right.
I don't, yeah.
And they're sweethearts, and I'll give them, like, sometimes I love this individual and I've seen them millions of times, but then, like, I've seen you probably 3,000 times and I still don't know your name. Right. Yeah. It feels so bad. It's like, you should know my name by now.
Yeah.
But I don't. Right. Anyway, Victor, so I need to refuel.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break here. Cool. Because we haven't gone over the things we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got some pairings.
So, yeah. So we're going to do that. But let's grab another beverage. Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
Looking for the ultimate brew pub experience in Sugar House? Well, look no further than Hopkins Brewing Company. It's not just about them, it's about you and the unforgettable moments you'll create there. Picture yourself surrounded by a vibrant atmosphere with a constantly rotating selection of beautiful craft brews. From live music to trivia nights, there's always something happening to keep the fun going. And let's talk about the food. Indulgent burgers, savory appetizers, and irresistible desserts await to tantalize your taste buds. Plus, here's something special for you. Use the code TASTEMASTERS at the end of your meal to enjoy an exclusive 10% discount on all food items. So why wait? Gather your friends and join the community at Hopkins Brewing Company for an experience crafted in your mind. See you there. Are you ready to elevate your coffee experience? Introducing Kings Peak Coffee Roasters, where passion meets precision. Crafted by artists who understand the essence of human connection and culture, their consciously sourced specialty-grade coffee beans are meticulously roasted to perfection right here in Salt Lake City. Experience the difference with Kings Peak Coffee Roasters. Elevate your mornings, elevate your days, visit their website, or stop by their cafe today. Kings Peak Coffee Roasters, opened every day, they promise every sip is worth it. See you guys at Kings Peak.
All right, Victor, we're back.
All right.
What'd you end up getting, by the way?
So I'm doing your salt and pickle, and I went spicy.
You did go spicy. It's
delicious.
Thank you.
I love it. I love hot. I love spice.
That's using the green sauce. Yeah, so the green sauce is that Louisiana hot sauce.
It's so good.
Yeah, I just did the regular salt and pickle.
Yeah, I'm getting a little sweaty.
Good.
Which is a good thing.
But it's also hydrating. There's pickle juice in it.
Mm. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's hitting it. It's exactly what I wanted out of a pickled beer, because I've had some pickled beers and sometimes they can be overwhelming. And I love pickles. I love pickle juice. I love anything pickled and marinated. Love it. But this one is definitely on the top of my list now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. There's another one I've had recently. It's from out of state. I can't remember the brewery, and it was good, but it's like you can only drink one because it's just too much. It's just too salty.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is if everyone always asks me, what would you change on this beer? And I actually would like more salt in that. But here's the thing. It's just like cooking a steak. You can always add more salt.
Yeah.
You can't take away that salt.
Yeah.
So as a brewer, I had to hold myself back. So as a team, we're like, hey, everyone on the team's like, no more salt. Like, nuh-uh. And I'm the one who's like, fuck it up with salt. Like, let's go. And so luckily they win. I mean, that's why we have a family. I'm not sitting here making all the decisions. No, I always, here at Keto's, I've always established, like, we're making team decisions. It's not just a BLCL one person. I don't like this, you know, chain of command bullshit. So luckily we come to an agreement. It's like, David, you're crazy. No more salt in this beer. But the beer tenders here at Keto's will rim your glass with salt if you need more salt.
Oh, nice.
Or you can always add more salt, right? Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, you're right. I'll just add more salt.
Yeah, this is delicious. I'm really loving this a lot. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's funny because one of my friends makes some of the best beer in the world in Utah. I mean, and this individual despises the fact that I love this beer so much.
Really?
It's so fun because, like, well, I'm trying really hard to work on this one, but this individual gave me a challenge to make this beer without using pickle juice. Oh. Just as good. So I'm like, okay, challenge on, challenge accepted. And that was going to push my creativity. And I like that, actually.
Yeah.
When he first said it, I'm like, fuck you. Like, damn it. But then I'm like, you know what? You're right. They are completely right.
Anyway. So what are you going to do? If you're at liberty to say?
So I've done, the first time we did this, we did a brine. We made a brine. There's basil, dill, all this, all the sorts of stuff, oregano, everything, man. There was all this bullshit in there. And it was just so complicated. And the only thing it was missing was the cucumber element. Mm. If you think about pickles, you can make the pickle juice all day long, but what's actually pickled is the cucumber, the vegetable.
Yeah.
And a lot of people forget the vegetable aspect. So what I'm probably going to do is go back to a Goza base. So it's kind of a saltier beer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do a vegetable Goza and then add certain trademark secrets, I'll tell you later, for that brine.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm going to do that. It's all going to be a hot side. So there's nothing to be added. It's going to be like I'm making it and then boom, it's done.
I like that.
So I think it'd be more natural, better. But like I said, the cool story about this one is with this pickle juice, people don't understand. I'm going to repeat myself, if you don't mind. It's not just I'm adding, some pickle juice from a pickle jar that I opened the other day. This is actually recycled pickle juice that people don't understand. So in Ogden, there's this great couple that uses their company called Base Camp Treats. And what they do is they make backpacking treats. So they freeze dry these treats. They do like candies, marshmallows, pickles, corn, vegetables. They do all these things, you name it.
Yeah, and it's meant to be lightweight,
yeah. And so I reached out to, her name's Melissa. I reached out to Melissa. I'm like, hey, Melissa, I see you're making these pickles. What do you do with the pickle juice? And she just flat out said, oh, I dump it. And my heart sank. And I'm like, listen, what if I told you I can take it and I can use it and you're not wasting anything down there? Like, I will take your wasted product, if you will, and I can use it. She's like, I love that because I feel guilty dumping it down the drain. Done. So about twice a month, I'll go up to Ogden. The team will go up to Ogden and we'll make a day out of it and we'll pick up some pickle juice. And, nice. And she goes through a lot. Like, it's one of her bigger sellers is that pickle. So I'm actually using recycled pickles, which sounds weird. But once you understand the concept, it's like, oh.
Yeah, that's great.
So I'm using local ingredients are actually going into this pickle juice.
That's awesome.
Or pickle beer.
Yeah, and it's reuse, recycle, perfect.
Yeah, it's like the keto theme,
awesome.
Right?
That's awesome.
So, anyway, so enough of that, Victor.
All right.
We are here because I kind of gave you a challenge this morning.
You did.
You're going to, because I want to see these pairings.
All right. I did put some pairings together.
Yes.
So challenge accepted, and also I'm going to throw it back at you a little bit.
Okay, I'm here. I'm here.
Because admittedly, I'm a little hungover today. So
that's fine. We both had tough weeks.
Yeah, it was a week for sure. And of course, I didn't bring my reading glasses because I'm old and blind. But how do you want to start? Because you gave me, so the challenge you gave me three challenges. So it was one was a favorite beer, local or otherwise, do a pairing with that. Mm-hmm. And then a keto's beer.
Yeah. Have you ever done one? A keto's
beer? I've done multiple. Pairing? Yeah. I've done a bunch.
What's the most recent one you've done? Top of your head. I didn't have time to sit there on the bidet and just scroll and see where you were at.
It
but.
Might be what I think it's what we're going to, well, the album is what we're going to talk about is I'm going to recycle just because I thought, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
Gotcha.
And I might, maybe the same beer because I just had it. And I really like it a lot before this pickle beer, which is also awesome. But the beginning of the interview, I had the triple hop IPA
yeah.
that you make, which I I'm a big fan of.
Thank you.
So that, well, now I just gave it away. but I was going to say, or we could do, if you want to propose a Keto's beer, that was going to be the challenge back at you.
Gotcha. Well, challenge accepted. So okay. I think what I'm trying, one of my goals here at Keto's was to help make that coffee cream beer great again. So whenever people talk about Keto's, when I first up and coming in the industry, is Keto's was known for their coffee cream ale. And there's two things for it. One, it won gold at GABF in 2018 and or 17. Shit, I'm going to have to fix that one. But it's as clear as this beer. So it's beautiful yellow, maybe a touch of gold.
Yeah.
You would never know there's coffee in it until you put your nose to it. It smells like coffee. And when you drink it, it drinks like a beer with a subtle coffee taste to it, and it's beautiful. So I guess if any Keto's beer was like a staple, like the Keto's beer, it would be that coffee cream ale.
Okay. All right. I can work with that.
Okay.
Cool. And then the other, yeah, so it was a favorite beer, a Keto's beer, and then just a surprise, something kind of just off the cuff.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess I'll start with kind of a favorite beer. So I gotta go with, in my hometown, Ogden. So Ogden Beer Company.
Oh, cool.
I love what Jackie's doing there. She's, and I love her lagers. And her Cultura Cerveza is if not my favorite cerveza in Utah right now, it's pretty damn close. I mean, like, and there's some people doing some really good stuff, like Fisher's Cerveza is fantastic as well. But it's funny because, you know, I told you earlier, I'm an IPA guy, I'm pale ale guy.
That's right.
And I didn't get into Mexican lagers until much later in life. Like, I didn't
just
really,
because or why?
I think just because I had had, like, the only thing I'd ever had was Corona. I'm like, that's disgusting.
Agree.
No offense to anybody. But then, like, you know, I had like a Dos Equis or something, like, oh, it's pretty good. But then, yeah, just when I actually had like craft artisan cerveza, like really well thought out, no GMO shit, no rice filler stuff, and I'm like, this is delicious. Like, I've really gotten into them, and I think Jackie's Cultura Cerveza is excellent.
I think what she's doing with her team over there is amazing, and they are creating a great beer.
So
I'm and that label is super cool.
Oh yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, I love the artwork. Yeah, they're doing some really interesting things there. So I'm going to pair that with, and I apologize, my Spanish is not very good, but there's a Latino heavy metal band out of Texas called Santa Obscuridad. I think I pronounced that correctly. Yeah. And I really dig them. They're a newer band, though
I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, so Santa Obscuridad. So it's, even though they're a newer band, they're kind of veterans in the heavy metal world.
Okay.
The main guy, or the most famous person in the band is, Larry Barragán, and he's from Hellstar, excuse me, Hellstar, the band, heavy metal band Hellstar. They've been around since the 80s.
Oh shit.
But the cool thing about, Santa Obscuridad is it's all in Spanish. All the lyrics are in Spanish. So I don't know what they're singing about most of the time, but because I don't see
those guys.
Yep, that's the band.
Oh my God, I'm excited.
And they're great. I think they're really amazing. And I love the fact that they've incorporated traditional Mexican music into heavy metal.
That's really cool.
I don't really know how to explain it exactly. It's subtle. It's not like, you know, it's not like there's a mariachi band with, you know, electric guitars, but it's really cool stuff. It's really cool. And I'm
gonna give it a listen to.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with a cerveza.
Oh yeah. You nailed it.
It hits perfectly.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to listen to it. I'll be in Ogden next weekend.
All right.
I'm going to grab it. I'm going to pair it. I'm going to give you some feedback on it.
All right. Oh, I'd love that. Yeah. I would love that.
Because, like, sometimes I see your pairings, I'm like, damn, I wish I had access to that album or whatever. Right. But Spotify is huge, and Apple Music.
Yeah, and they should be on Spotify or iTunes or, yeah, I think they're out there. And I can even get you some stuff. So.
I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really cool. Yeah, and it's a, I don't know if they have a full album. I think they just have an EP. I think they have a few EPs out. But they've got really cool music. Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, two EPs, they said.
Yeah, 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 really good band. Really, really cool stuff. And they even have, like, what I dig about them is, yeah, there's like this heavy Mexican influence musically, but then there's also like Iron Maiden kind of vibes and just, yeah, kind of this traditional heavy metal like new wave of British heavy metal vibe to it as well. I don't know how to explain, but I like the marriage of those worlds.
What is it about that metal world that you just invokes you? Just
it's
kind just of like
passion. I know, like I'm sure a lot of you are like, oh God, metal. Like it's,
maybe, you know. But country, you can argue that. Pop, you can argue all of it.
But it, for me, it's always been, it was just always, it's just passion. There's so much passion in it. And I think, you know, and sure there's shit, like in any genre, there's going to be shitty stuff, but you know, and I think sometimes there's cliches of, you know, it's all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll and all that. But it really is, like, you know, I mentioned Iron Maiden. I mean, there's, you know, lyrically they're singing about, you know, history and literature and, you know, all sorts of really cool things and interesting things, like in politics. And I don't know, I've just always kind of been fascinated by, especially well-read. I was an English major. So anybody that's really well-read and kind of obsessed with, you know, the ancient world. And that was always the thing with Iron Maiden was, you know, Steve Harris, the bass player, was, you know, obsessed. I mean, he has a song about Alexander the Great, you know, like how nerdy is that?
I mean, you know? Pretty nerdy.
He has a song about Dune, the book Dune.
Oh shit.
Yeah. You know, from, this was 82, 81, 82, somewhere around there. I mean, yeah. So he's, you know, they're heavy, they're fucking heavy, but you know, he's a nerd like me. So it's great.
Hey, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's my pairing with one of my favorite beers. One of my favorite beers in Utah. I guess move on to the ketos. So
yeah, I'm curious.
I will tell you the. I guess we're gonna do a double kind of with this because you know I had my the triple
dry hop.
IPA. So for me, it's got to be, and you know, because ketos is a Finnish word. It's a, I think, are the owners Finnish or
the owners Finnish descent? Finnish. Mm-hmm.
So there's a Finnish heavy metal band, Children Bodom. They're melodic death metal, great band. Unfortunately, no longer exist. The singer, guitar player, passed away a couple years ago. Mm. Very young, which sucked, Alex. I'd either go with, there's two albums of theirs that I would go with. Hex, which is their last album, or I Worship Chaos. And I actually did a pairing with your triple dry hop with I Worship Chaos.
Oh shit. Really?
And it was probably maybe a year or two ago that I did that. It was a while back. Wow. I can't remember exactly when I did it, but, and partly it was, one, just the visual. I mean, that's also an aspect of it I've never really mentioned is sometimes it's the can, the artwork and the album artwork and the can artwork, you know, sometimes is a nice marriage, or the names of the beers. I do have, and we can get into this a little bit, and I break my rules all the time. I have guidelines, very, very loose guidelines on why I pair certain things. But that one, because it's melodic death metal and almost more melodic death metal is kind of a weird term, but they're really thrashy. They have a lot of thrash elements to their music. But lots of really cool melodies. He sings harsh, you know, he's harsh, you know, he's a growler.
I can't wait to listen. Oh my God. Jason Stocky listening. That's up his alley.
Oh, cool. Right on. Yeah. But yeah, Children of Bodom. I'm sure he knows who they are. Great band. They were a great band, but yeah, what I love is that hoppy punch. And so with metal, with thrash metal, death metal, I mean, you want something that's like, yeah, punch in the throat, kind of a, you know, like bang. Yeah. And that's where that for me is like, yeah, that dry, that really dry hop flavor that beer produces. And that we talked about this earlier. I love the peppery finish, which also I think lends itself well to like the lyrics, you know, cause it's dark. There's some dark lyrics on there. And I think it's, I don't know. I think that works really well together for me.
Damn. So. Victor, you're killing it, man. Holy shit. I just got lost in that. Oh, wow.
Okay. So, I got to think about this for just a second. So you said
the coffee cream ale. Yeah.
So I'm also going to go Finnish band.
Oh, shit.
But a little, like a kind of a, it's still metal, but it's very different. So it's the band Nightwish, symphonic metal band.
I love Nightwish.
Oh, you do? Oh,
so
right on.
Bye Bye Beautiful is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, right on. Yeah,
and Aramath and all that.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, cool. My God. Okay.
Oh, I'm this is awesome. Right now. Yeah. I love this. So I'm going to go with, I know I wrote this down because I don't know why it must be Kismet, because I was like, I did the pairing thing with, Children of Bodom, but I'm like, I think I need to add some, I need to do another Finnish band just because there's, I don't know why. I just had this intuition, I guess, and it worked out well. So Endless Forms, Most Beautiful,
okay,
is the album. So it wasn't their last album. It was the one before that. But I think those, and I have not done this pairing, but I'm doing it now. I think those Coffee Notes and Fleur's vocals. I don't know if you've heard Fleur, so
not
she's
yet.
The she's the more recent
singer.
So I
stopped listening to them in 2000 and probably 12.
Okay, so
it's been a minute.
So Fleur is, in my opinion, is one of the most amazing vocalists living today. I mean, wow. I think her range is incredible.
It's almost like opera-y.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. She. I think she is a trained opera singer, but she can also growl.
It's so beautiful. I love that.
She's just, her vocals.
If they ever come to Utah, we are going, Victor.
Yes, yeah. I've seen them once. They came here once.
I'm jealous.
They played at the old, now gone, sadly, the, in the venue.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. In the venue.
My God. I can't believe you're bringing up Nightwish right now. I'm geeking. Like, that was my high school. Like, oh, I went to bed there. It was the first singer.
Oh, my brain is
whatever. But I can see her.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Tara,
I went to bed.
Tara? Tanya.
Tanya. So, yeah, that was it. And I'm like, yeah, I can't wait. Oh, my God.
Yeah, amazing.
That's so cool.
So Fleur combines.
I got to look this up now.
Tanya's vocals and the.
The one in between?
Yeah. She's kind of a combination of those two styles.
Gotcha. Okay. I got to look this up real quick. I'm looking at a tour real quick, too.
Nice.
Now I'm curious.
But I think that beer goes really well, I think, with Nightwish. Just because you've got the, those rich notes of coffee and her rich vocal. But then you've got kind of these ethereal keyboards, which lends itself well, I think, to the lighter beer style. And I'm just making this up on the fly, but I think that works
in real time. And
I love this.
Keep going.
And then I think like the crispness of that beer too, like, especially with the drum work and the guitar work.
Oh man.
Because that's one thing I always liked about Nightwish too, is you don't have this like, musically it's bombastic in a lot of ways, but I think guitar wise it's kind of simple. Like, nothing against Emu, is that how you say his name? Nothing against his guitar
work. Viking looking guy.
Yeah, it's a real short little dude. Nothing against his guitar work but it's more simplistic. But I think it needs to be, because you have these huge symphonic movements.
Right, because I think you should play to your strengths, and he understands our strengths are not me, it's them.
Yeah. I'm so hoping. I think the crisp lightness.
Because in the coffee cream ale, the coffee is the main player. That's what our strong point is, not the crispness of that. I mean, it complements for sure. It's balanced.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Oh, very balanced. Yeah. Yeah. Which is, another reason I love that beer. I actually debated on getting that between when we went grabbed the beers.
The first and second time.
Yeah. I was like, should I get that? I really like that. But I've had it many times. So I'm like, I should do something I haven't had for a bit, even though I did. Ended up with the IPA. Actually, I've never had this before, and I love this.
So this is a new rendition of the coffee, or the pickle beer. So I'm trying, but those two beers we're bringing up, I'm trying really hard to pay homage to Clay Turnbow, the original head brewer here.
Oh, okay.
That guy, I love that cat. We're still dear friends, talk to him on a frequent basis. I think he had a great sense of what beers wanted to be here at Keto's. He made that coffee cream. He made the pickle beer. He first made it into that Goza base style, from what I understand. And then he changed it multiple times. Being at Keto's as long as I've been at Keto's, I kind of get a glimpse of what Clay went through and what his mindset kind of was. And so In saying that, I'm trying to pay homage to him by making both those beers great again.
Nice.
Not that they went downhill by any means, just when he won that gold, that motherfucker deserved it.
Yeah.
And I want to make that beer justice, give cool. it justice. Nice. And the pickle beer, it was kind of like a, not necessarily a gimmick beer, but it was like a, fuck it, you should make a pickle beer. Like, ah, well, yeah, you know, right?
Yeah. And
unfortunately, fortunately, it actually is very popular.
Yeah.
And, but it never got the status of how popular it could have been or how great it is. And I'm going to try to make that because of him. So I'm not doing it because I'm trying to like make it better and I'm the better brewer. No, 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 no. I'm trying to, like, Clay had an idea and I want to help finish or bridge that gap. Like, this is where he was thinking and I want to make it where he pick up where he left off.
Cool.
Basically.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's delicious, especially with the hot sauce in it.
That's
I'm loving this.
Yeah, the hot sauce is great. I mean, it kills head, by the way. You'll see no head on this beer, but
yeah, which is fine with it. I'm digging this beer. I'm loving this beer.
Mm. That makes me happy. Okay.
All right, so
third pairing.
So this was a surprise pairing. So I don't even I have to admit, I don't even know if this beer still exists. I mean, the brewery does. I don't know if the beer still exists.
Okay.
So it's one of my favorite breweries out of, this is an out of state. I'm doing out of state.
Okay.
So this is True Brewing out of Denver. I don't know
if they're still there.
Okay. But I don't know if the beers, I don't know if they still make this particular beer. So they did a beer. I mean, I haven't been there for a while. The last time I went there, I think was 2018.
Oh, bro, get back
2019?
There. After COVID, Denver's a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. We're actually going in July. Yes. So, yeah, and we're staying within walking distance of True.
Oh, so you'll be, you'll be around a bunch of breweries. I'm going to make you bring some beer back.
I will, yeah. So they did a beer back then. It was bottled that I bought from the shop when I was there, and it was called the Crown Jewel.
Okay.
Or no, sorry, it was not called Crown Jewel. I just totally messed that up. Strike that. It was the Jewel Throne. Sorry, that totally messes up even the pairing. yeah, Jewel Throne. And again, I don't know if they still make this. It's a mixed culture golden ale on Colorado apricots.
I'm looking this up right now.
Yeah, so hopefully they still make it.
With locally grown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was delicious. And I love, I'm not a big kettle sour fan. I don't hate them, but I don't drink them very often.
You're right.
But I like aged, like a true aged, funky sour.
Okay. Got it. So they don't still currently make it.
Okay. I didn't think so. But yeah, that beer was off the charts. And the cool thing, if you don't know about True, if you're not familiar with True, that's, TRV.
Looks like a V.
It's, you know, black metal thing. So their head brewer is the drummer of a doom metal band called Chemis.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he's a big metal guy. So the whole bar is it's all metal themed. It looks like a satanic altar. It's
really cool.
It's really cool. And their beers are named after metal songs, lyrics from songs, things like that. So the Jewel Throne is a Celtic Frost song.
Okay.
So I didn't really pair this. They paired it for me, but it works really well. So I did that with Celtic Frost with, 2 Megatherion, their, what was that? 82 album.
Wow.
One of the originators of like extreme metal, like it's hard to kind of put a label on. I mean, cause they, at that time, such an early time in metal, that band Celtic Frost and like Venom, would be like the bands that kind of created what I would call extreme metal, which extreme metal, you're talking like black metal and death metal, like really heavy stuff.
Okay.
But they kind of created that out of, kind of came out of thrash metal and out of new wave of British heavy metal. But it was just more extreme and dark and, kind of satanic themed but anyway, so they did this beer named after that song
from
that album. So and it's like, okay, well that's the perfect pairing.
Yeah. Like you said, they did it for you.
Yeah. They did it for me. Yeah. That's the other thing I love about it. I paired several of their beers and I don't have to do any work cause they've done it for
me. They've done it for you, but you're helping.
I create the visual.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so I actually marry the two things together. But
my God, this is so cool.
Yeah,
my
but God. It's really cool. Yeah, that place, I love that place. I can't wait to get back there.
I think every time I go to Denver, except for this last time, I always go to True, just because it was. I don't know. It's got that. It just. I'm not huge into metal. I'm not sure as enough as you are, right? But I love. Even my wife loves it. Like, it's just like, it's that vibe. It's cool. The beer's good too.
Yeah.
So I don't care. It could be, you know, princess, you know, themed
beer
hall. And if the beer's good, I'm fucking going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, they have excellent beer. And like you said, it's a cool vibe. It's a fun place to hang out. It's very relaxed.
It is.
I mean, it's, you know, it's metal. I mean, I think that's the thing. People are like, oh God, metal bar. Like, that's going to be scary. I'm like,
but no, you don't have to have gauges to walk in there. You don't have to have, big ass beard and long hair to go in there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. My wife's not a huge metal. She listens to a little bit, but she's not, we go there and she's like, oh, like, these metalheads are like the nicest people in the world. Everybody's so laid back and like friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool. And the last time we went there,
before COVID.
Yeah. Before Jesus, COVID. Victor. Yeah. It was a long time ago. Wow. And it was, I ended up, so we, you know, we drove into town. We were actually on our way to Colorado Springs, but we went through Denver. And so we go to True. My wife and I was driving, and my wife ended up having to drive the rest of the way because I got lit.
Hey, you had a good time.
Well, you know, because they play music, you know, they were playing full albums. And so we were about to leave, you know, I purchased a bunch of stuff, took it out to the car, and we went back in to pay the bill, and they started playing Sepultura Arise, and I'm like, I have to listen to this album. I have to have an IPA and listen to this album.
Wow.
So then we ended up okay staying. With that. Oh yeah, she's like, oh yeah, of course, Sepultura. We got to listen to Sepultura.
Wow.
So yeah,
what a badass.
And she's the one that's like, well, I'll drive. Why don't you have a beer? Like, because I had like a couple beers.
Did you look at her and be like, I love you.
I love you. You're the best. Yeah, she's amazing. She and I should say, I'd be remiss not to mention this. So. All these pairings, this doesn't all come from my mind necessarily. My wife has idea. Like I'll ask her, like, I have an idea. What do you think of this? Like, I bounce a lot of ideas. And she's, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, I've talked about, you know, possibly quitting multiple times.
Right.
And she's the one that's kind of talked me out of it. Like, she's really supportive.
What's your name?
Tina.
Tina. Oh.
Yeah. She's always
been
really.
Shout out Tina.
Yeah. 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 Love you, Tina. She always has been very supportive of my page.
Beautiful.
and my interviews and she'll joke, you know, it's like, well, I get benefit out of this too. Cause you know, I get beers and I get, you know, we've actually, so I had done an interview a couple years back or a year and a half ago or whenever it was, I can't remember exactly, but, it was with the singer of the band Praying Mantis. And he's Dutch, even though it's an English band, he lives in the Netherlands. And he invited us to come to the Netherlands because he was doing a Dio, Ronnie James Dio memorial concert series.
Oh, cool.
So we're like, let's do it. So she's like, yeah, I benefit from all of like your interviews. And I get to meet cool people and I get to go places. And she's like, I love this. This is great. But yeah, she's given me some really cool ideas. And some of the pairings are her albums. Especially if we get like more punk rock stuff, a lot of that's her stuff. And I like punk rock too, but yeah, she's got a really cool collection of stuff. And, so yeah, I've done a bunch of, and like I mentioned before, the pairing for Todd, that was actually her album, the Elton John, she's a huge Elton John fan. So that was her album. It's collaborative, you know, with the love of my life. So, which is cool.
Makes me happy, homie.
Makes it fun.
Do you see yourself hanging up the vinyl anytime soon?
Never the vinyl, but maybe the page. Bruising Teens, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe someday. I don't know. Maybe somebody wants to take it over. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun. It's I joke that it's, you know, it's an excuse to drink and listen to music and not be an alcoholic. Like, oh, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm doing a page.
Yeah, right. It's for research.
Yeah. I'm not a lush.
It's for science.
Yeah, it's for art. Just kidding. But, you know, I don't know. It's like I said, sometimes it seems overwhelming and I try to be relevant and new content, but I do really love You know, and I post everything. I post all sorts of bands, you know, all sorts, you know, like you've seen it. I, you know, big, giant, huge bands, Metallica, Iron Maiden, all that kind of stuff. But, and then local, even and local, ones, local bands, you know, bands here in Utah. And I do love promoting, you know, like I love promoting local beer. I love promoting local small bands.
I'm telling you, Hulking Bull Boy Giant.
Yeah, I need to check that out.
I'll send them to you.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I've got, in fact, I've got one in the works right now. I haven't put together yet, but there's a local band here in Salt Lake called Way, W-E-Y, punk rock band. Great stuff. Really killer band. So
I like that.
Yeah, I'm doing something with their newest album. And yeah, I just I love promoting cool music. You know, and just turning it on to other people. Like, I love sharing idea, you know, I love that idea of just sharing, like, hey, check out this beer, check out this, you know, and also people,
yeah,
I love feedback from people too. Right. Like, I've learned tons just doing this page and met so many amazing people like yourself. Yeah, it's great to, it's, yeah, like, I like the idea of community building. I think, and I'm not necessarily great at it, but this is my way to do it.
Yeah,
this
it's
is
like
my
your
bridge.
Yeah, your bridge. Your key into the the networking.
Because I'm kind of shy, kind of quiet, but you know, this is the way I can reach out.
It's kind of like your love language in a way.
Maybe.
Through music and beer.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this is how I'm showing love, and I receive love by connecting the same way.
Yeah,
that's really cool. What's something about this page and this chapter, this journey, this progress, this adventure that you haven't done yet that you still want to, like, you got to accomplish? Or is there anything you got to accomplish still?
I guess the biggest thing would be, well, travel, more travel and highlighting more beers from other countries and other states, places I haven't been. I'd like to do that. And like, and I would like to, I tried this years ago and it sort of worked and didn't really work. I've had a lot of success in interviewing musicians,
okay,
but I have not had a lot of success in interviewing brewers. One, because you guys are busy as, you know, fuck.
Weekends, so, yeah. Weekends and weeknights.
Yeah, it makes it hard. So I've had a hard time interviewing brewers. I've done a few, but it's tricky. And I don't know enough, which maybe isn't a bad thing because I'm inquisitive, so I got lots of questions because I'm not a brewer myself. But yeah, I'd like to do more of that. And then, you know, I've got some white whales, you know, some unicorns out there, the people I want to interview, especially in the music world, that maybe I never will. Maybe they're too big for me because I'm small. I'm small potatoes.
Who knows?
But yeah, you never know. I mean,
who
yeah,
knows?
Yeah.
All I could say is no.
Yeah.
You're not going to know until you find out.
Yeah. And I've tried. And the music industry is so weird. It's such a weird, ugly beast. Mm. Yeah, because I love music, but I don't like the business side of it really at all. Mm. It can get pretty nasty. And luckily I haven't had any terrible things happen necessarily, but you know, I've dealt with some of the egos.
Gotcha.
And usually not musicians. It's more like record people. You know, and some of those guys, Jesus, just complete assholes.
Damn.
Because they're about money. It's about money. It's about making lots of money.
Yeah, once you're trying to capitalize it, and you know, the business part of it, and any aspect in any business, like, damn,
yeah,
it sucks. You're taking away what we're like. You're trying to make money on this passion. It's like, god damn it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I won't use any names, but there was a fairly famous musician who I'm actually friends with on Facebook, and I asked him, like, you know, I sent him a private message, say, hey, would you be willing to be on my show, do an interview? And he's like, yeah, I'd love to, but you got to go through my management.
Oof.
And they were awful, and they wanted money. I'm like, I have like 5,000 followers. Like, I'm nobody. Like,
yeah.
I do this as a hobby. I'm not going to pay. And they wanted thousands of dollars to do an interview. Like,
damn.
Who do you think I am? Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah. So things like that. That's
sometimes that kind of takes you back. I'm like, I'm just doing this because I love it. Like, why are you trying to make it? Ah. Fuck you. Like,
yeah. And it pissed me off so much. Yeah. I wanted to almost name drop a little bit. Cause like, okay, your guy's cool. You know,
but
this guy,
your facility sucks.
Yeah. But also I've interviewed like Doug Pinnock from King's X direct. Like we didn't go through management. It was him,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's bigger than your guy.
Like, right. Damn.
So fuck you.
Yeah. Damn. That's sad.
So,
sometimes you're going to get that though, unfortunately.
In
that industry and in any industry. Right.
Right.
Damn. Man, Victor, you're blowing my mind right now. I can't wait. So this episode's going to come out here soon. But I think it'd be really cool to do. I was going to, well, we could talk about this, but I want to do a collaboration like post.
Yeah.
And I think we should do like a 2-part post. So what's going to do is we're going to have to do a photo like I usually do with my guests with you.
Okay.
And then the pairing of a Tastemasters pairing with your time here at, I guess, yeah, we're at Kitos, but like the time we had here. Because I want to see what you think of me and how you would pair that with music. I'm very curious.
Okay.
I don't want to know about it until the day we post it.
All right. I'm going to have to put some thought into that.
Yeah. Well, you got like, what, a whole week?
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate your time coming down here and hanging out. And whatever you need, please let me know, whether you want to connect with individuals or whether you want to pick my brain or, I would love to just talk more music. And I could do this for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, this is a blast. I'm having a great time.
Right? I see why sometimes you look at like the big people like Joe Rogan, and they have like 3-4 hour episodes. I'm like, I get it. You just get lost in conversation. But like, at the same time, I was like, damn it. Most people don't want to listen to the hobnob, but I could hobnob, right? But that beer is just like, and music, like that's a special, you know, sometimes when I'm having a bad day, stressful day, music just kind of takes me away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For me, it's total escape. It's
that ecstasy. It's just
It's like a drug. I feed off of it. Endorphins fire off for me with music. And I think that's, you know, why I love metal so much and kind of heavier stuff is just brings me so much joy. Because my dad's a jazz guy, and he's like, how do you listen to this stuff? And because he sees it as just angry, and I'm like, no, it's like, it's escape. And I've kind of changed his mind a little bit. I've played him some stuff, and he's like, well, that's kind of cool.
Right.
And
it's kind of like subgenres. Like, that's like,
yeah.
People categorize it into like, it's like black and white. But there's so many levels of gray in between that you could like this gray or this gray, like, you know, and that's where I like to cook with jazz. I cook with jazz.
Oh, nice.
When I work out, it's more like hard rock and metal.
Yeah. Well, right? It's interesting too, when you look at a lot of musicians, even, you know, like metal musicians and what they listen to, what influenced them, like when you talk to them and what actually, and it's interesting because it's not, you know, especially I find it funny. And I'm not trying to pigeonhole anybody here, but like, especially like some of the younger metal guys that may not have grown up with kind of the evolution of the music, where they just get into like death metal or black metal, and that's for them, that's the end all be all, which is fine, but they don't understand that the people they're listening to, they didn't have that, they invented that, and they listened to, you know, Deep Purple, like, or all these other, you know, old band like Led Zeppelin and things like that. They weren't listening. They invented that, this genre. They didn't listen to that kind of stuff that you hate, but you have to, you don't necessarily have to like it, but you have to understand the roots a little bit.
Go back. See what inspired them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I know like one of my favorite, I think my favorite artist of all time is Dave Grohl.
Oh, brilliant. And he's brilliant.
Disco is a huge influence for him.
Yeah. Which is interesting. You know, I had no idea. But then when he explains it,
he's like, you're like, oh, that makes sense. But like, okay. Cause like my favorite, I was listening to it on the way here actually. My favorite song that gets me like hyped up, is from the Bee Gees called Tragedy.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like one of those, the falsetto, like, it's like, it gets me like just doing this, you know, I'm just kind of bumping. And it's so funny to, you know, I'm like, wait a second, this influenced Dave Grohl to a degree, you know? Yeah. Cause I remember my mom, you know, growing up, she loved that, the Grease, you know, the disco, John Travolta, all that, you know, ass shaking bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
And I just laugh at it. Cause when I, growing up, I'm like, this is ridiculous. But now as an adult, I'm like, I can see it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, there's great beats. There's great. Yeah. I mean, there's actually a lot of great musicianship.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's great art out there. And it's too much like trying to, like you said, pigeonhole. You can't just appreciate it. Like when I'm listening to the Apple Music or the Spotify, if I like the song, whether it's from like, you look at me like, you listen to Miley Cyrus? I'm like, yeah, I like a couple of her songs. Like, yeah, you know, something like that. If I like it, I'm going to like it.
But
it doesn't mean I have to go listen to the entire album and like every single song.
Yeah. That's what my wife always says. Like, and this pertains to beer and music. She's like, you like what you like.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't wait to meet Miss Tina. She better be there, Ogden.
Yeah, she will. I think you guys will get along. Yeah. I was going to say with Dave Grohl, I don't know if you've ever heard Probot.
Mm-mm.
He did a, and I thought this was brilliant. Hey, this came out.
Probot.
Yeah, Probot. This was probably 15 years ago. I have the worst sense of time ever.
Oh, you're good.
Probably not that long ago, but I thought it was genius. So what he did, you know, because he's a big metal guy. He loves metal. So he wrote an album, and every song, he had a different singer, and he wrote a song in their style.
God damn, that's so cool.
It's really cool. Yeah, so he's got like King Diamond on there. He's got Lemmy from Motorhead. So it's like a Motorhead-sounding song.
Right.
He's got...
it says side project, heavy metal side project.
It's brilliant, I think. And it didn't get enough kudos, I thought, when it came out. I thought it was genius. I thought it was really cool. And it's all these different styles of metal, like subgenres of metal. I mean, yeah, you've got like kind of thrash and... you know, more power metal stuff and punky kind of stuff. And
damn.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, he does that where he's kind of like us, where you go and you just want to see the roots and say, where'd you get your inspiration? Why are you the way you tick the way you tick? And I've loved that guy since I've heard his voice. But then when he did Sonic Highways, that's what influenced me for my next chapter for the Tastemasters, is take it more visual and showcase and different, you know, aspect that I'm going about it now. And that album's the biggest influence in my life.
Oh, interesting.
And seeing, and he did one called it's about that soundboard, the famous soundboard.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I watched that documentary. That was really cool.
It's like City Limits. No, it's called shit. Anyway, it'll come to me. And anyway, watching me like, hey, this is where great music was made. How and why? You know, and it's just like the curiosity. I want to know. And appreciate and respect. And that's why it's like, fuck yeah, I want that. And you're doing the same thing, man. You're doing the same thing with, like, you get to meet these artists when they make the beer. You know, but you also do the stuff that I won't do, because it doesn't resonate with me, is you will go and find that metal or that music, go find, why is that so cool? Like, listening to you spout off those musicians, I'm like, holy shit, that's so cool. But, like, I saw that. I'm like, I get it. Yeah. That's why your page and what you're doing is so cool.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You got a lifelong supporter from me. I tell you what.
Thanks, brother. Yeah. It's likewise. Yeah. Well, I'm digging your show.
So. But you being here has been a blessing and an honor, and I won't forget this, man.
Oh, this is awesome. This meant the world to me. Yeah. Like I said, I had a really shitty week. So this was like, this kind of changed everything. So thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
And it'll be more afterwards. We'll go take a little tour.
Hell yeah.
But Victor, is there anything else I can do for you before we hang up today?
I don't think so. This is awesome. I've had a great time.
Good.
Really, truly, this has been fantastic.
Fuck yeah. Likewise. You made my morning. You made my week, actually. Like, cool. So I'm glad. Yeah. Like I said, kismet is the great word. Yeah. Great way to say that.
Yeah.
But Victor, on that note, if there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. And yeah, fucking love you, dude.
Yeah. You, man, this is awesome.
Well, until the next beverage, brother.
Yeah.
Cheers. This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @the_tastemasters, Twitter at @the_tastemasters, or on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_audio.